Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Perek Lamed, the 30th chapter of the book of Mishlei. And just a reminder, this is actually the penultimate chapter, so we're just about at the end of this journey of Mishlei. And this Perek itself is incredible. There's so much to learn. We're going to look at some of the highlights together. There are 33 psukim in total in this Perek, and it's divided roughly into two main sections. The first are the words of Agur ben Yaker, which are the first 14 psukim, and it starts off with the Koteves, the introductory pasuk, which reads, Divrei Agur ben Yaker. This is the words of Agur, the son of Yaker, Hamasa, which we're going to translate perhaps as a prophecy or the place he comes from, Neum Hagever, Le'isiel, Le'isiel V'ukal. So this is a prophecy to these people who are named over here. We don't recognize any of these names, but in his prophecy there are three sections. In his words are three sections. Beis to Vov are don't seek out what is beyond you. He's talking about wisdom, that a person needs to be humble when trying to understand Hashem's agenda. Hashem's agenda is much bigger than we are. We need to be aware and humbly aware of that. The second section within Agur's words are Zion to Tess, where it's a request for Parnassah. A person's asking Hashem for honest ability to be able to finance themselves, knowing that Parnassah, that sustenance, is in the hands of God. And finally, the third and last section of Agur's work is Yud to Yudalad, where it talks about four different types of Rashaim, evil people, one who curses one's forebears, where one comes from, a person who's innocent in their eyes, but they don't think they're really innocent, an arrogant person, and a person whose teeth are knives. Obviously, these are all metaphors, need a lot of more unpacking and understanding. We now move into the second major section of the Perek, which is the words of Aluka, La Aluka. And this section can be seen as the heading for the rest of the Perek, or could be seen as a whole bunch of smaller sections. There's three psukim about the Aluka, talking about four who are never satiated. And the pattern in this last section of the set of this Perek seems to be a pattern of 3-4. It talks about three examples or parables which explain a fourth, which is slightly different. So we're going to take a little more time on this Aluka example in a moment. But then it goes into Psukim Yud Ches to Chof, where it talks about three wonders: the way the eagle fly in the sky, the way the snake is on the rocks, the way the ship sails on the high seas. And then finally, the fourth over here is similarly a person who commits adultery and wipes their mouth and moves on. I think the idea of it over here is the idea, just as those ideas, those natural wonders defy logic, the unnatural wonder of human decision-making also defies logic, seems to be the general move over here. Then Chof Alef to Chof Gimel, four people who cannot be tolerated, a slave who rules, a disgusting person who's satiated by bread, and a hated person or a slave girl who replaces her mistress. We'll focus on that in just a moment. And then Chof Dalet to Chof Ches, the four tiniest or smallest things on the earth, which are very powerful ants. They're without power, but they build their stockpile during the summer. The badger has no strength, but makes its home in the rock. The locusts have no king, but fly in formation. And then the kicker is the lizard, which you can catch in your hand, but has a place in the palace of the king. Obviously, there's much more going on here than just the words. Finally, the last section in the Perek, which is Chof Tes to Lamed Gimel, is four who are on a good path, the lion among the beasts who no one stops, the greyhound or the he-goat, and then he says, but if you're a schemer, if you're a person who's always thinking about other people, put your hand over your mouth and stop the words. Very, very strange descriptions here. Requires a lot of unpacking. We're going to look at some of the details in this Perek. First question is, the Perek starts off with the words of Agur bin Yaker. It's worthwhile noting that, according to many of them for Hashem, this is a separate section of Mishlei. There are three immediate sections of Mishlei, which are Divrei Shlomo, and this one seems to be another person. Who is this? So the Ibn Ezra, the Da'at Mikra, say it was a person, it was a wise person, perhaps one of the Chachmei Kedem, the wise men of the East, who are described in Sefer Melachim Perek Hei, who came to Shlomo because Shlomo's wisdom was greater than theirs. And the ideas of Etiel at the end of this of the pasuk could be describing either his students or his colleagues in the conversation they had about wisdom, which is now included in the book of Mishlei. However, Chazal said that this really refers to Shlomo himself. It was another name for him. Like the word Koheles, as the Ralbag points out, is the idea of a pseudonym for Shlomo. It's the idea he gathered together wisdom. Agur also means to say gathering, so he pulled together many of the Mishalim, and this refers to a different dimension of the name of Shlomo himself. And that is why it is called also Etziel. Etziel is a person who feels they're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ultimately led to a little bit of the downfall of Shlomo because he made bad decisions based on the fact that he thought he was above the law. We're going to look at a few psukim in this section. First of all, Pasuk Hey, which is in the first section, the section of knowledge of Hashem and the humility and knowledge of Hashem. The Pasuk is a very famous one. We've seen similar permutations of this before. Kol Imras Eloika Tzerufa, all the words of God are pure. Magen Hu Lachosimbo, they are a shield for those who take refuge in Him. What does this mean? So this appears in a very fascinating place in the Torah, regarding the mitzvah of what is called Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird. In that there's a very fascinating debate. The Rambam suggests that the reason that we have this mitzvah is in order that we do not show cruelty to the animals, in order that a mother bird should not be seeing her child be taken away in front of her. The Ramban disagrees with this. Nachmanides disagrees with his earlier colleague and says this doesn't make sense because it's not so much about what Hashem wants, it's really about what's good for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvot, and he quotes a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, which says, do you think it matters to Hashem if we shech the animal from the front or the back of the neck? Does it really make a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rather, quoting our apostle, Kol Imras Eloika Tzerufa, that all the words of God are pure. And the Ramban explains that the word litzareif doesn't just mean pure, but it means the purification process. So it means smelting. So you take, let's say, iron ore, and you melt it down in incredible heat, and you melt down those rocks. What happens is all the dross, all the extras, which are not part of this, the sigim, now float to the sides as you melt down to molten iron, and you're able to extract the real metal. A silversmith melts down the silver to get the pure silver. When do they do this? It's interesting that you melt it down until you can see your reflection in the metal, because that's when it's absolutely incandescently pure. That's what's going on over here. The mitzvah, says the Ramban, are an opportunity. They're our spiritual gym, lahavdil, that purify us, that smelt out all the dross in our lives, if we're willing to undergo that process, which means it's not easy, but it's the necessary process of the rectification of a human being. And therefore the Ramban says, sending away the mother bird is not about the animal feeling pain or HaKadosh Baruch Hu being concerned, it's about forging within us the ideas and characteristics of mercy. We move on to Pasuk Tes, which is in the second section of Asking for Parnasa, which says a very famous Pasuk as well. Pen Espa Vekichashti Vamarti Mi Hashem, lest I be satiated and I renounce Hashem, saying, who is he? Pen Ivoresh Vagonavti, or maybe I'll be impoverished, and then I take to theft, Vetofasti Shem Elokai, and I profane the name of Hashem. In the introduction to the Mesilas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato quotes this pasuk to describe that a person is caught between two battlefronts. The one battlefront is abundance, and the other battlefront is not having enough. If a person does not have enough, a person is wont to steal. A person is going to perhaps create problems on the social realm. However, a person who has too much is going to have problems on the ritual realm when it relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, because they're going to think that they're self-made. You listen to all these leaders and you say, oh, how do you make yourself? And they have a million explanations of how important they are and how they got there, when ultimately most of it wasn't really themselves at all. So the Mesilas Yesharim says we're caught on a war on both sides, and this doesn't just relate to money, it relates to any God-given talent that we have, energies, opportunities, characteristics that we have. If we have a little too much, we get arrogant. A little too little, we get jealous of others and try to steal and try to demean others because of that jealousy. That's the battle we're found between in every spectrum of our lives, and that's from our pasuk over here. Worthwhile taking a read of Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato in the introduction of Mesilas Yesharim to appreciate this in greater context. Moving on to Psukim Yutes Vov 2, Yud Zayin, the idea of the Aluka. What is an Aluka? Who is this Aluka who's speaking? The Malbim says the word Aluka is literally a leech. A leech is an animal which resides in swamps, and it sucks blood out of people. It was used in medical practice still today, is also because it has a non-clotting agent, so it's a very fascinating creature. Nonetheless, why is the leech over here? What's talking about? So the Malbim goes on to say that actually Aluka is the name of a Greek philosopher whose name was Aluka, and he had a particular shita, he had a particular perspective which is being raised over here, in fact, as a straw man in order to destroy it. Which means to say that the person being quoted over here is not of our faith, he's a person not of our ideological perspective or persuasion either, and we're quoting him in order to be able to show how empty his ideas are. What does the mashal mean? So the Mitzvah says that we're talking about over here just to appreciate what the actual words are in this section. The way it reads is as follows. It talks about la'aluka. Let's get the actual words. To the leech. Shtevonos, it has two daughters. Hav hav, They ask, give. Shalosh heina lo tispana. Three are insatiable. Arba lo amru hoin. And there are four who say never enough. Sheol v'etzem v'etzem v'racham v'racham eretz lo savam mayim v'eish lo amru hoin. Sheol, that's the netherworld, a barren womb, earth that cannot get enough water, and fire, which never says enough. Wow, what's going on over here? So the Metzudah says that there are two ideas in the world which always pull us away, and those are the netherworld. The grave pulls everybody towards it like a leech sucks blood, but it has two daughters, and those are Gan Eden and Gehinnom. Every person in the world is being pulled towards the end of their life and their death, and after that there'll be a decision made as to where they go, depending on the life they lived. So you can sort of imagine that magnetic force, like the leech is the example here. However, the Malbim deepens this. He says this is a struggle with actually the primordial Greek philosophy itself. Greek philosophy argues that the world was kadmon, that the world always was, there was never a starting point. The Rambam argues vociferously against Aristotelian logic in this respect, but nonetheless, that's what the Greeks believed. If there was no beginning, therefore there was no one who began the world, and the world always was. So the way that that Shlomo HaMelech is setting this up is by saying that there are two daughters over here. They are the Sheol and the Rechem. They are the netherworld and the womb. Why? Because every human being lives between those two parameters. They are born from the womb and they end up in the grave. And everything between them is what we call life. There are three articles which are always calling for hav that they want, and they are a land which won't absorb water. The Malbim says in that are three elements. They are land, water, and air. Air is one of the components of water. And therefore, we have three of the primordial elements of the world, and the fourth one is fire. These, of course, are what's called the four humors. This is earth, water, air, and fire. And not only is this just medieval talk, this, of course, are the three phases of all matter, which is solid, liquid, gas, and energy, which is the convergence of each of those three different phase changes. And what is being said over here is that everything in the world is subject to entropy. Everything in the world between birth and grave is subject to deterioration. That shows you that ultimately there's a greater force above you. And that's why the end of this mashal concludes, this is the way it reads in the Pasuk, is I enter Laglaav, and I that mocks a father, v'tavuz likas aim, and disdains the homage due to a mother, Yikruha Orve Nachal, they'll be gouged out. That eye will be gouged out by the ravens of the brook, meaning the eye that refused to see this, the eye of this aluka, of this Greek philosopher who refuses to see the truth, will be gouged out by the ravens because it refused to see godliness in this world, it refused to see that there was a greater power that controlled this world. Obviously, so much more to talk about, but that's just to get a sense of that, the tip of the iceberg of this idea. We're going to look at Psukim Chof Aleph to Chof Gimel, very beautiful idea over here where it describes, and just to read them very quickly to get a sense of it, Tachas shalosh rogz le'eretz, tachas arba lo tuchal se'es. The earth shudders at three things, at four it cannot bear. Tachas eved ki yimloich, v'novol ki yisbalechem. A slave who becomes a king, a scoundrel sated with food. Tachas snua ki siboel, a loathsome woman who gets married. V'shifcha ki tirash kevirta, a slave girl who supplants her mistress. What is this? What is it referring to? Why are these ideas? It sounds like somebody who's lowly, who takes the place of a high place. Why? What's this got to do with anything? The Malbim explains that innately in every human being, there is the will to goodness. There are naturally good characteristics embedded in every human being. And you can see these oftentimes in children. There's some very, very good, giving, generous, altruistic talents in human beings. However, as life goes on, a lot of times we're able to sublimate those. We're able to, in a certain sense, ignore them because of more self-centered needs, arrogance, ego, anger, impatience. And those characteristics sometimes we'll call the lower characteristics. Sometimes we take to be our wives, so to speak, in the place of the real mistress. That means to say that at core, we are good human beings. Good. Human beings are good people. However, at sometimes we take the lower characteristics, the corrupt characteristics, and marry them in the place of the good characteristics, which should and could be the core of us. And that's what's being described over here, is the life we choose to live, is what do we give the precedence to, what do we put on the throne in our character, the goodness which is innate, or the corruption which unfortunately is relative and not inherent. And that's perhaps what's going on over here. Again, there's so much going on over here. You can see and appreciate just how powerful this perek is. We'll close over here, and obviously much more to learn. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.